Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Time for the South Florida High School Sports Show on FM 104.3 WQAM. Florida's most in-depth coverage of high school sports.
Sponsored by UHealth, University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute's physicians deliver the precision of academic medicine to every pro, adult, and youth athlete. For your best recovery, go with pro-level expert care. Recover your game at UHealthSports.com.
Yes, sir. It is a Monday, and it's our regular times. It's zone 6-8. We take you right up until 8 o'clock, and Larry Bluestein along with Trevor Harris. It is probably the biggest week of high school football that you're going to get. It's state championship week, and we have it right here in our own backyard beginning on Wednesday evening with the 2A state final, which could be one of the best games. I think Jacksonville Bowls and Sarasota Cardinal Mooney are two programs that may be foreign to a lot of our South Florida listeners, but I'll tell you what, they are good. And they kick things off, which will be seven games over 4 days, doubleheaders on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We will be involved in every single one of those days beginning on Thursday. And I'll tell you what, it's you know, the season flies by, but for some reason, the playoffs kind of drag. I mean, it's 5 weeks of a pretty good action. And certainly, we are happy that you are with us. I can't thank you all enough for all the correspondence that we get throughout the course of a week. Even when we're off the air, telling us how much they enjoy listening to what we do. And that's a credit, obviously, to our program director, Len Wiener, and also to my producer, who does just an outstanding job, Trevor Harris. So that's why we're here with you every single week. And some days, especially throughout this time of year and into the spring, different days, but we're still here with you, whether it's an hour or 2 hours. And excited to do that, and especially on a week like this week, and had an opportunity. Because remember, as soon as we finish with this week, we start getting into the postseason. And in the postseason, we have all-star games. And then we cross that 2025 to 26 threshold. And then we start having the off-season events and camps and the new classes. The 2026 senior class will kind of wind things up for the most part, because even then into February, March, maybe even into early April before the start of spring, there are a lot of these small college recruiting fairs that take place that give these young men an opportunity to play somewhere. Yeah, we had National Signing Day last week, and the elite kids went where they were going to go, and we knew it. But this is a time, too, that the new college coaches, and we have plenty of them, some that you know, some of them that you don't know, will use this period now and into January and all the way into February to kind of solidify this class. Most of these newer coaches who couldn't hold on to a lot of these commitments that were made under the previous regimes will maybe try to get those players back by kind of, showing them, hey, listen, Coach Joe was a really good coach, but we have a different philosophy, and Coach Joe was let go for a reason, although they won't say it, but they'll imply it. And that's what's happening. USF, kind of a tough deal with Brian Hartline, because you just got to kind of ride the coattails for a minute on what Alex Golich did, because he brought a lot of success to that program before moving on to Auburn. And then all of a sudden you have Brian Hartline cutting his teeth as a head coach at USF, which is not a bad place because they've got a lot of good things going on. And you know that, there's going to be Power Four in their future. They're building an on-campus stadium. The new facilities are taking place. And wouldn't you like to be a new head coach walking into a situation like that? Yes, you would, because everything is sellable and you don't have to say, well, we're going to. Well, you are going to. You have it. And you could show it first class over the next 3-4 years. That's all going to take shape. Obviously, the job that Willie Simmons did at FIU, unbelievable. First year going to a bowl game. They'll be playing, I believe, Texas Arlington. Whatever it is, it's a bowl game. Don't get me started, because I just got off a rant with a few people about pulling out of bowl games. And everybody thinks it's great. I blame the damn administrations of these colleges. They're losing out on revenue. And not only that, they're killing these freaking bowl cities. These people work so damn hard year round to sell their product, to invite you to the city, to boost the economy of those cities, and spending millions and millions making sure that these colleges and universities have a good time. They load you up with gifts. They take you places. They feed you. They house you. You know what? I understand that Notre Dame's angry. Okay, I'm angry for them, all right? I'm angry for them because Alabama should have never been in. I don't care. They've got to do away with that unwritten rule. Hey, if you play in a bowl game, you're putting yourself out there. If you lose, then you know what? You lose. That's another loss. You know who's the culprit in this whole damn thing? South Carolina. They had a 30-point lead against Texas A&M, a 16-point lead against Alabama, and blew it. Because if they would have won those two games, everything else would have taken shape. Okay? So I blame South Carolina. Get the damn job done. But while I'm on that rant, I do want to go back and say, you know what? I don't blame Notre Dame. Okay. But don't hurt your fan base. Don't hurt the kids. Okay, so some of your seniors won't play, but the younger kids will go. And no matter where it is, then believe me, they're not going to stick Notre Dame in some corner. They're going to bring them out like to Jacksonville, or they're going to take them to, some big city and treat them extremely well. And by the time they kick off the bowl game, all right, they're not going to forget about it, because the wounds will be even open more when Miami plays Texas A&M or Alabama plays Oklahoma for the second time this year. So the wounds will be open, but big deal. And listen, that's fine. A parent, if you're a parent and your kid comes to you and says, well, I don't want to go here. Yeah, well, you're going here, okay? You're going here. That administration of any college that has to pay the bills, look at how much money that by going to a bowl game that you lose all your paraphernalia that gets sold and your jerseys and everything that comes back to the colleges. And not only that, they give you a check and they give you good stuff and they give you, you know, that's why I don't understand how you're pulling out of these bowl games. If I was a president of a university, I wouldn't even listen to it. Garbage. You're going. We're paying your freight for the entire year and making sure that you have new uniforms and new this and new that. And then when we have a chance to bring some more revenue back into this school, you're blowing us off like you don't understand what it takes to run, you know, a sports program and the money that Notre Dame brings in during the course of the year and the additional revenue. Listen, I'm a football fan. And, you know, I followed since I was younger, Miami, obviously, but USC has been and if USC doesn't deserve to go someplace, I say, listen, okay, they've lost three times. I love them, but they don't deserve to go. They don't. I don't care if they made the bowl game or not. If they make the college championship game or not. And if you do go, it's the risk. You got to win. I wouldn't want to be on that college committee. Not that they're any good. I mean, there's a couple of people on there that probably just got in there for the free buffet. Did you see that buffet, Trevor? Jesus. Prime rib and all this stuff. And
all the fixings.
All the fixings. They had an opportunity to treat them pretty well, but yeah. And then all these scenarios were painted to them and all this pressure of Miami beat Notre Dame and this and that and their mistake. And I think that you learn from all your mistakes. But if you have a team like Miami, there's no way that they should ever be ranked below the team they beat. Anywhere during this, unless that team is like, you know, 12-1 and the other team is 6-5. But they were the same record basically all year. So you say to yourself, well, wait a minute, this is going to cause a little problem at the end, because if we have Notre Dame ranked over Miami now, you see, and that was a thing. And that's the stinging point. Last week, Notre Dame was ahead of Miami and neither of them played this week. So do you see that part of this thing that added to the fuel? Now, if last week the committee said, you know what? Last week, Miami's not playing next week. Notre Dame's not playing next week. Let's put Miami over them. Okay, so let them get that stinging out now that they'll understand before that. And then we'll give them a path, you know, like BYU this. Now, they got to stop this at-large crap. I mean, Tulane is a 25-point underdog to the team they already lost to in Ole Miss earlier this year. They don't belong. I don't care. They don't belong. I don't get it. Unless they ran the table at 12-0 and then, you know, they're perfect and they beat some really, really good teams along the way. See, that gives the incentive, like a USF. Now, if USF ran the table with wins over Miami and Florida and such, the committee's got no hesitations. But when you're at James Madison, and who you really played? Tulane, who you really played? So in that case, you say, there's no way that they've got to erase that stuff. These at-large, unless that at-large team is undefeated and they've, like Boise that one year where they played everybody, they played Georgia and they played all these teams. But if you're playing a crazy, crappy schedule and you expect to be in that mix, no way. Change this stuff now. there's flaws all along, but if they don't live and learn from this experience, and I don't want to hear 16 teams and 20 teams, because if you go to 16 teams, there's always going to be that 17th team that's got their butt hurt, right? If you go to 20, it's going to be that 21st team. It's always going to, hey, I should have been there. Keep it at 12 and be men about it. And forget about these, you know, and love Manny Diaz. He's a great guy and grew up here. He's a nice man, did a nice, you know, whatever. You got no shot. Oh, we're playing great. Miami beat you by 35 right now. They play on a neutral field. So I don't want to hear that. Notre Dame would kill you. So I don't want to hear this. These bold champions, and the ACC's got to get their crap together too. They've got to get right. They've got to say, hey, listen, the highest ranked team should play in our bowl game. It should have been Virginia and Miami. It shouldn't have been Virginia and Duke, because then if Miami won that game or Virginia won that game, then South Bend, you would have been in. I had to go off because I've been hearing this stuff for the last couple of days, and I'm going crazy about this stuff. And
tell Brady Quinn and Joey Galloway stop complaining already.
Oh, well, you knew that Brady Quinn was going to bitch.
Dublin, Ohio's finest. Learn how to cry better, man.
Yeah. Yeah, you knew. I mean, obviously. But it's funny that to hear Danny Cannell, FSU guy, or to hear a Florida guy all in Miami's corner is fun. It's funny to hear that. It really is. And even some Notre Dame people who understood, okay, we should have never lost to Miami. Okay, I understand that. So Miami's not our problem. But Alabama's our problem. They lost three times and should have lost again. Right? They could have five losses, Trevor. You know, I mean, and I'm my friend Bob's a big Alabama fan, but you know, you guys got to come to a realization, just like any other fan. Say, hey, listen, I don't care if I don't care. They beat Georgia early in the year, but then they got massacred the other day. So did they show anything better than that first match? You won, but then it shows that you got less of a team. I mean, they hung on to beat Auburn, a 5-7 team. Who, if everybody keeps opting out of these bowl games, may be going to a bowl. I mean, it's, yeah.
Did Alabama also lose to Florida State, too?
They got killed in the opening game. And that, to me, it was the bad loss that I thought would keep them out. Because then you say, you know, this, why should even Miami, you know, if Miami didn't get in over Notre Dame, if I was the president of my university, I'd call them and say, hey, guys, I know we play you next year. Find somebody else. It doesn't do us any good to go all the way up to South Bend and play you. And if we lose, yeah, if we win, it doesn't matter either way. No, there had to have been something out of the result that opened the season. We thought for 8 months about that game. We talked about it. It was a standalone Sunday night game. The country watched. Everybody saw. And the thing these analysts have got to get out of their vocabulary, because after 4 weeks, all I heard was, Miami's the best team. It's not even close. Okay? I heard that after 4 weeks, beating Florida, beating Bethune, beating USF, beating Notre Dame. And then all of a sudden, Miami wasn't even the top 12. So stop it. Stop with your knee-jerk reactions when you talk about these teams. Oh, he's the best. They're the best. He should win the Heisman. You know what? At the end of the day, there's 46 Heisman winners. Really? That guy should win the Heisman. Yeah, 250 yards running today. He should be the Heisman. Jeremiah Love is probably, and I'm not going to take it away, is probably one of the best players, if not the best player in college football. But he cracked the bed in his first two games against Texas A&M and Miami. That's when you want to, like, get off and say, look, I ran for 216 on Miami. We lost 35-30. But, hey, I don't know. Who knows? But what I do know is we got a great show this evening because we're going to usher you in to the playoffs, the state championships here at Pitbull Stadium on the campus of FIU in style. 7:35, Javion Mallory is running back out of West Boca Raton. The Bulls are going to defend their 6A state championship. He's a University of Miami signee, and he'll join us at 7:35. One of the unsung heroes on St. Thomas Aquinas' race for a seventh consecutive state title is Philip Goodrich, linebacker, defensive standout. He's an Army commitment, and I thank him for that, for his commitment. Great kid, great family. Got a chance to meet them during the summer. He'll join us at 7:25. We'll get into the University of Miami debate with Alex Dono from Locked On Canes around 7:05. I know Alex is one happy camper, and he should be. You know, I mean, he should be. Obviously, he hosts a daily podcast that is centered around this program. What's it like to play for your father? Well, Uriah McCartney is a starting linebacker at West Broward. His dad, who we had on last week, Brian McCartney, is the head coach. He's really a hard worker and a great student and a senior. And we'll talk to him about 6:50. Speaking about a team that really, really kicked butt this year to get to where they were at, despite a lot of losses, injury wise, they are defending state champion, Plantation American Heritage. They had to go all the way up to the Panhandle, 620 miles this last week, and beat Fort Walton Beach Choctawhatchee. Dylan Bennett, linebacker, but he also has filled in at running back when they needed him. He's been probably one of the MVPs on this team. He'll join us at 6:35, and we'll talk all about every local team with Andre Fernandez from the Miami Herald, who will join us in just a few minutes. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute experts, now they treat athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, and youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. That's uhealthsportsmedicine.com. When we come back, we get right into it with this week's state championship games. Andre Fernandez from the Miami Herald will be next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to South Florida high school sports on FM 104.3 WQAM. Sponsored by the University of Miami Health System Sports Medicine Institute. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsports.com.
Larry Bruce and Trevor Harris back with you on a South Florida High School Sports Radio Show. Good show this evening up until 8 o'clock on 104.3 FM WQAM. And just as a side note, the FHSA released the new classifications just now on their or a little bit earlier. A couple of movements. I think the most notable is Chaminade Madonna, which still has the same enrollment going up to 2A, which I'm sure a lot of people in 1A are happy for. Maybe not so much in 2A. But nevertheless, they will be in action as a 1A team, and they will kick things up locally on Thursday afternoon at 12:30 noon as part of a South Florida, all South Florida event where they'll host take on West Palm Beach's Cardinal Newman and Jack Daniels. That's a 12:30 game at FIU. And somebody who will be front and center for that game, as he has been for the last couple of decades, from the Miami Herald, is Andre Fernandez, kind enough to join us. Andre, thanks so much for taking the time. And I think that before we even started the state championship games, the new classifications are stealing the show.
Yeah, kind of interesting. I think that you mentioned the one that stood up for sure, and that's the Chaminade move. I think that maybe a good word to say is liberated Class 1A, because they were stuck behind the Lions for all these years, and you almost knew at the start of the season the daunting task that you were going to have as a team to get up there. And, you know, schools like True North can rejoice a bit, I guess.
Yeah, but then, you know, now you go into that little gauntlet with Cardinal Mooney's really, really good team, bowls, programs like that. But that's something that, you know, Chaminade relishes. You know, they relish playing those big boys, and they're not going to back away from that. And I'm sure they'd much rather know that at the end of the rainbow is going to be a pretty good game. I think this week's game has an opportunity to be a good game. I went up and saw Cardinal Newman last week. They really good team. They kind of made mistakes in the second half, which kind of does you in and against a game like Chaminade. But how do you see that one shaping up? We know that, you know, Chaminade's running on all cylinders. You went to that game last week and they got off to a little bit of a slow start against, you know, not a bad team. Trinity's always going to bring a pretty good team south.
Yeah, I think I've said this now for like 2-3 years, and I think, like, you know, justifiably, Chaminade's offensive weapons get a lot of attention, a lot of credit over the last few years. Their defense is year after year. I feel like they don't get it as they get attention, but I feel like sometimes they're a little overshadowed by the offense, and it shows late in the season always, and it's doing that again this year. I think that side of the ball deserves a hat tip for sure for what they did last week, because the game was a little dicey in the first half. The offense was sputtering. They weren't really able to even get the passing game going, even with the up-tempo style that they like to do. They like to play with, you know, quickness, no huddle. It wasn't there till about late in the second quarter. Then finally they hit a touchdown pass to J-Rock and got it going a little bit. And even then in the second half, it was 14-0, and it took a pick six to really break it open. But what I'm getting to with the defense is just they were lights out completely on that Trinity Christian offense, which was pretty good. And they shut them down, barely gave up any. I think they held them to like 2 first downs until late in the game. So it was a smothering of an offense that was pretty good. And it just shows you that it's a complete team again. Once again, you know, Damian Jones, this is a decade of at least getting to the final. And most of the time they're not at least getting to the final. Most of the time they're winning it. But that shows you the consistency of a team, you know, whichever, doesn't matter what class they're in. To go back to the classification thing, yeah, they play 7 or 8 of their opponents every year are against much better competition. They beef the schedule up on purpose to prepare them for a run like this. This year was no different. And that, I don't think whether it's Mooney or Bowles or whoever, now in their new classification, if anything, for us as spectators, it's going to be better, because you're going to get to see them face a bigger obstacle this time of year. But they're ready for it. I think they're going to be ready for it. I think as a program, they're ready for it. And you know what? To get to the game this week, they can't. From what I've been reading and what you've been, you know, I've seen a little bit, and from what you were telling me from the semifinal, there are 2 1,000-yard ball carriers on this Cardinal Newman team. Not one, but 2, the quarterback as well. That is going to be hard to stop. This is not a pushover. This is a better Newman team, I think, even than last year. And it's going to be interesting. A Broward versus Palm Beach matchup like that on a Thursday afternoon. It's going to be, it ain't going to be easy for the Lions.
No. And West Boca Raton obviously was the big win that they had. And, you know, West Boca's going back to the state championship. So, and they played a tough schedule. They played Roman Catholic of Philadelphia, played Gainesville Buchholz, a team that West Broward beat. And they also played Tampa Jesuit. So obviously that is a game that everybody's going to be watching. And then at nighttime, the big one on Thursday evening, a rematch of last year. Two teams that know each other really well, Lakeland and St. Yeah. Thomas.
It's probably the most known in terms of a name game, I think, at this point in modern history of the state finals. I think it's like the marquee matchup that you seem to get, if not every year, every few years. And it was surprising to me how badly Aquinas just beat them down last year in the way I thought it was going to be a closer game than it was. To Aquinas' credit, they did what they did. It wasn't, you know, we're talking about an Aquinas team that had more losses last year than they typically do. We weren't sure we were going to get, and they dominated at the end. This year,
no doubt.
I think they're rolling. I think they're rolling. This isn't like last year. I mean, Lakeland's good, but this team turns it on at the right time. And I think Mason Mallory has really been fun to watch this year in terms of just his versatility. I mean, he can kill you with his legs or passing. And it's a typical Aquinas team. They have a little bit of everything. And I think they wear this team down, and they continue to shift the all-time series, because it used to be owned by Lakeland for years. And now St. Thomas is the one in charge of this series now.
Good Friday doubleheader in the afternoon. Wes Broward, who throws caution to the wind every week. They don't care who they're playing. They just play against West Boca, defending state champion. Another 9-5-4, 5-6-1 matchup. And then on that night game, it's it'll all hell will break loose once again. Northwestern against Rains, Friday night show. How do you see these two games?
Wes Broward is one of the stories of the year. And you know, I think even last week, you know, people weren't sure what they were going to do up in Gainesville. They were facing a good team, a Buchholz team that seemed like they were due after 4 years in a row of losing in the semis. Justin Williams, the kid that's going to Florida. And their defense showed up. I mean, that was the thing. Wes Broward has been able to run the ball and make big plays on offense all year. But another team that their defense really showed up, and Amir Sears, if you didn't know already, now I think people know. Amir Sears is one of the top young talents in the entire state, one of the top young talents in the country. Made a big statement this past week to get them to propel them to that victory, and they're a great story this year. I mean, during the season McCarthy got a lot of headlines, but Wes Broward deserves a lot of credit. This is their breakout season, first appearance. They're gonna have their hands full though. Javian Mallory and West Boca, they're the defending champs for a reason, and they're still playing like it. They themselves, I mean, to go to Armwood and win that game, that's tough too.
How do you like that rematch at night? It's going to be a war. It's going to be closer. Rains has played really well too down the stretch. Remember, they beat Lake Mary. That's their signature win. They beat them good by 50 points. So
yeah,
I think it'll be a better game than last year. I still think Northwestern comes out on top.
I think, I mean, no doubt in my mind, Northwestern comes out on top. If it is a closer game, I think it's only because the Bulls sometimes this year have seen them go into a little bit of a, I guess you could call them for like a quarter or so, they go into a bit of a funk on offense. Their defense plays consistently throughout, but sometimes they just lose their rhythm a little bit. Saw it in the game against Palmetto, saw it a little bit in the game against Central too. If something like that happens, Reigns might be able to take advantage for a little bit. But to me, there's just no way they don't, you know, make plays, especially on the defensive side. You know, Desmond Johnson and those guys, I mean, they're so aggressive back there, and they just can turn games on a turnover. And then on offense, Neiman Lawrence is tremendous. Speaking of young talents, young sophomore talents, Neiman Lawrence, he looked the part since he was in eighth grade at Ransom, but he's come a long way since then. And to do it at this level too, because one thing is doing it just in general, but at a high level with the best competition in the state, playing some of the best teams in the country, he's proven he can handle it. You know, and those rivalries last week, that showed a lot last week. 7 touchdown passes in 2 weeks ago. I'm sorry.
Against the best, one of the best teams in the country.
Yeah, 7 touchdown passes. No one had ever done that in a Northwestern Central game. and to not to Corey, not Teddy,
nobody.
And so do that. That showed something.
Let me wrap this thing up. I think if Mike Smith and American Heritage win, I think he's coach of the year. What he's done this year with less, lost the best quarterback in the country, lost his top running back, lost a lot of guys, still went on the road and won a big game up at the Panhandle, American Heritage against Orlando Jones in a rematch. No Malachi Tony.
Yeah, and he lost his receiver for a while too, and Brandon Bennett.
Yeah, and another one that went down.
Yeah, they healed up. They got, and they didn't get everybody back, but they got the key pieces back at the right time. And yeah, no, it's hard to argue. I mean, only Brian McCartney at West Broward, unless you're dividing it, you know, by classes, is another one that deserves a lot of credit. But yeah, typically I know Heritage is one of those teams that they're like, oh, they're loaded and whatnot. No. This year was a great coaching job. We thought last year was a great coaching job when Malachi made the switch and everybody still carried him to a title. This year, they really had to overcome a lot. A 5-loss team. They just went 10-plus hours up to Fort Walton Beach. And not just one. They won big on the road. That wasn't a bad team that they beat up there, too. I mean, They're going to have their hands full. Darian Coleman, a lot of UM fans are probably going to be interested in this game because of him with Jones. It's a rematch of last year. It was a good game last year when him and Malachi were dueling quarterbacks. So a lot of pressure on that Heritage offense to keep up. And this is probably has the potential to be one of the best games of the weekend in terms of how competitive it may be.
No doubt. Andre Fernandez, Miami Herald. Andre, we'll see you out there on Thursday. Appreciate you as always. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Larry. Talk to you there.
Good stuff. Andre Fernandez from the Miami Herald. And let me use this as a segue. American Heritage Plantation, what a great program and what they've done this year against a challenging schedule. And there's probably one player. There's a lot of players on the team, but one player really signifies what this team's been all about. That's Dylan Bennett. He's played both ways for this program. He's a senior, is a senior leader. He is kind enough to join us. Dylan, thanks so much for taking the time. You heard just now Andre Fernandez talk about Coach Smith and what a great job he's done. Talk about this team, and congratulations on getting back to the finals.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I would like to start off by saying, I mean, I'm so incredibly proud of the guys just for staying strong. Like you said, I heard you guys say, like, we battled through injuries, losing a lot of key pieces. But, this team is so strong-minded and so glued together so well. And, I mean, like, I really think that's a big part of us being able to come back to the state championship and have potentially go back-to-back, because I feel like without the camaraderie we have and the brotherhood, I feel like it'd be a lot harder to do what we've done. So I'm incredibly proud of the guys. I just want to give a big shout out to them. And also the coaches. Coach Mike said every week, I mean, I really do think we have the best coaching staff in the country. And I sincerely mean that.
Yeah. And not only you, I mean, look at you. I mean, you're a linebacker, but they needed you to run the ball. I mean, you know, I mean, Bueno went down, a couple of other guys were banged up. They needed a senior leader, somebody they could depend on. You never even hesitated. You went in there, you ran the ball real well. Talk about that, because that shows a lot from your standpoint, because you're a senior and a lot of these younger guys are looking to you. Because if you're stepping up to do stuff that you don't normally do, they have to do it as well. Talk about that.
Sir.
Because talk about your leadership. Because Coach told me, he says, listen, Dylan Bennett to us is he's the heart and soul of this program because of what he does for this team. And you just gave props to everybody else. Well, let's give some props to you, Dylan, for what you've been able to do. Talk about yourself.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that. I do believe leading by example is, like, very important. So, I mean, you know, Bueno went down, and I know, like, it was hard for us going through the rough stretch. But, I mean, really just doing whatever I can in order for us to win, in order for us to come out on top. I mean, like, whether it's – I don't care if it's blocking, coming out, I don't care what it is. I'm very willing to do whatever it takes. And, you know, I played running back a little bit, so, I mean, I was kind of familiar with it. But it was a little bit challenging at first, you know, getting used to, like, I haven't been back there in a long time, but, you know, getting used to it and everything like that. But I ended up, sticking to it pretty well, and it started to flow. You know, we started to catch a groove and everything like that. But I do believe leading by example is important, and just seeing our guys put everybody on the lines. So, you know, it only felt right for me to do the same.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, when you take a look at this season, you started out against St. Joe's. You're down 28-0. Okay, yes, you came back. And then all of a sudden, oh, by the way, Chaminade the next week. Edna Carr the week after that. Miami Central the week after that. I mean, you ran a gauntlet early. You guys, your heads stood above water. You lost a tough game. You didn't win the district. You had to go play on the road in the playoffs. What was it about this team? What was it that? Because I was at your second game against American Heritage against Archbishop McCarthy, and you guys seen the you lost Wayne Early. You had a couple of other guys, and like Andre pointed out, you were without Bennett the whole year at receiver, most of the like five games. I mean, he wasn't at full strength for you. You had a quarterback that came in, had to learn the system, had to acclimate himself with everybody. I mean, this was one strange season. You have to admit that. I mean, this a movie could be written about this.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, we always preach keeping the main thing, because at the end of the day, you know, nobody really cares. Nobody cares what's going on or what happened. Everybody really only sees what's on the scoreboard on that Friday night. So, you know, coach always says, keep the main thing. I mean, we know what it takes. We know injuries is part of the game. And you're right. We did have some heck of an incidents and stuff like that, you know, losing players and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, we got a goal. We know at the end of the season, the goal is to get a state championship. So we know what needs to be done, and we know what we got to do to prepare ourselves in order to reach that goal. And that's exactly what we do week in and week out.
Yeah, no doubt. You take a look at this week's game, Saturday afternoon, same team as you faced last year. They still have a lot of the same pieces. The guy who kind of made you go, as a buddy of mine would say, is Malachi Tony's not walking back in the door this week. Obviously, he rescued you guys with a tremendous performance last year. But you guys it seemed like maybe this trip to Fort Walton Beach brought you closer together as a team. You were together for two straight days. You took a trip up there. You won a game on the road, 600 something miles away from home. Do you think you look back at this game and say to yourself, you know what? No matter who they put in front of us right now, we've overcome a lot of adversity.
Absolutely. And I mean, I believe we've been dealing with adversity since last year, so it's really nothing new to us. But I mean, the trip definitely has glued us even closer than before, because we've been together two whole days. We understand, and like I said, you know, we understand the goal. We understand what needs to be done. So, all the guys, everybody, we all on the same page, and we all know what it takes to reach the goal. So we're all putting our bodies on the line, and I mean, especially for us seniors. The last go around, we're gonna give it everything we got, and I completely trust trust everybody on that team, and I know they got my back, and I got there, so that's really all.
No doubt. And last year, you sent your senior class from last year out as winners in great fashion with the win over Jones. Obviously, this Saturday afternoon is going to be a big one. And want to thank you and congratulate you for all that you did for this team, because people don't realize you get a lot of accolades as individuals. You know, everybody wants that spotlight, but I don't think you get enough pats on the back for being a team player. And Dylan, you've done that. And everybody realizes what you've meant to this program, and want to congratulate you. And we will see you on Saturday at 12:30 over at FIU, and see if we can get this thing done again.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Good stuff. Everything. Dylan Bennett. One of the top players. I'll tell you what, he did a great job this year. I mean, you know, the unsung hero. That's what he's been. And yeah, he's played running back in the past, but you know, he's pretty tough. And tough-minded, and as Andre Fernandez said, as our first guest, I mean, you know, you look at this program and they've overcome some hurdles, and with the schedule has been crazy, and they, you know, and they did a tremendous job. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute experts, they treat athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, youth athletes as well. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. That's uhealthsportsmedicine.com. When we come back, we wrap up hour number one. Uriah McCartney, he's the son of the head coach. Let's see how he feels about this week.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Time for more of the South Florida High School Sports Show on FM 1043 WQAM. Sponsored by the University of Miami Health System Sports Medicine Institute.
Back to wrap up hour number one with you. It's been a great hour, I will tell you that. Larry Bluestein along with Trevor Harris. We take you up until 8 o'clock this evening. State championship week right here in South Florida. One of the teams that will be headed in on 12:30 on Friday will be West Broward. How about that? The Bobcats went up and took care of business up in Gainesville, move into their first ever state championship game. And I'll tell you what, there are a lot of players that you could look at on this football team as leaders and team, you know, responsible for getting this team where they're at. But one of the players that probably never gets the recognition that he deserves, he's the coach's son. He's a linebacker. He's a senior. Not only gets it done on the football field where he's one of the leading tacklers, but also one of the top students on the team as well. We welcome in Uriah McCartney. Uriah, thanks so much for taking the time. Congratulations on getting, I mean, I know it's been a lot of work, and I've been there a lot of the way since dad took over the program. And I got to say, congratulations. I know that there's been a lot of work behind the scenes. I know that.
Yeah. Thank you, Larry. It's definitely been a ride, and it's been an amazing journey seeing my dad turn this program around from 1-9 to where we are today. But it's all the glory to God.
No doubt. And you take a look at this last week, and I think that probably points out your team more than any. You went on the road against a program that a lot of people said, hey, there's just no way. This team came up with big wins this year. This team played a great schedule. They're at home. But you guys went out there and took care of business. Talk about what it's been for. You know, I mean, I know I was at your opening game of the season. Obviously, we know that Corner Canyon's one of the best teams in the country, and they've showed it all year. But you guys were still in that game, made a few mistakes. Along the way, you guys played some really, really good football. Was it the good schedule at the beginning against Camden County and also against them that maybe propelled you to a season that you had? Because you did have a competitive schedule.
No, definitely. I think playing Corner Canyon and Camden County those first two games kind of like got us prepared for the playoffs. And kind of Camden County, I would definitely say, taught us how to travel. And that I think that was a vital role into our win was we kind of like knew how to travel. We've been there before. And I think playing, you know, great competition in Corner Canyon, we're not going to see a team that talented or that well coached, you know, for the rest of the year. And we know we could have won that game. I think definitely we could have won those first two games. And it definitely motivated us and propelled us, like you said, in the right direction. Yes, sir.
Yeah, no doubt. What's it been like for you? I mean, you've been around this game since you could walk. I'm sure you held the football very early in your life, and you've been around it. You've seen it, you know, as a son of a coach. You know, I know your dad. Your dad's he's sometimes he gets, you know, a little crazy, but you know, for the most part, I mean, he's a great guy. He treats everybody fairly. Talk about what you've learned from him, just not as a father, but somebody who's been a football coach.
No, it's definitely been a blessing having him being my head coach, and it's been an amazing journey. And I've just he's always taught me to have a grit mindset, you know, like we've always been the underdog or the team that everyone looks passed upon or just in general. And he just kind of gave me a mindset to just outwork everyone, no matter if you're slower, smaller, no matter what the case is, just outwork everybody. And that's a mindset that I'm very grateful that he instilled into me and just the program in general. And I think that's definitely kind of just shows what type of program we are. It's just a very gritty and hardworking team.
Yeah, no doubt. And the addition last year of Coach Mario Perez, who does a great job at, you know, orchestrating an offense, and you've added a lot of players. Your offensive line is really, really good. How much have you learned going up against that offense? Because very few offensive coordinators are going to be as innovative as he is, and he's going to throw a lot at your defenses, and you get to go against that every day in practice. How much has that helped you get ready for the season?
Oh, it's helped me tremendously. Like his knowledge of the game is out of this world. And it's we don't see that smart offense in any game like we do in practice. It kind of gets us prepared for the better teams, the well-coached teams. And Mario was a great addition, and that definitely helped us get to where we were.
Yeah, no doubt. Uriah McCartney joins us, linebacker, senior, one of the leaders on the team, on and off the field. Talk about what you do in the classroom, because, you know, a lot of people don't understand, but we have a lot of younger players thinking that, you know, football's it. I mean, no matter what, where I'm going to play football, but all of a sudden an injury or maybe talent, you don't make it as far as you think you can make it. You need something to fall back on. You've done that. It's been instilled with your parents, making sure you get it done in the classroom. Talk about the importance, Uriah, of getting it done in the classroom.
My dad always told me growing up that it's always student-athlete. Student becomes, you know, before football, it's always the classroom and the books before anything. And it's honestly, I always had the mindset of school before everything. You know, if I'm not doing well in school, then I can't just do well in other areas of my life. And, you know, it's just having a dad as a coach who knows the ins and outs with college and the grades and what courses to take or this or that has definitely helped me and been a blessing along the way. But for all the younger guys, it's definitely student before athlete. You have to be great in school before you could excel on the field.
Yeah, 100%. And not only will you get an opportunity to play, you know, a really good West Boca team that was in the same situation you were last year going to the game for the first time, but there'll be a lot of eyes on you. This will be an opportunity like the Camden County game, like the Corner Canyon game, you know, and like last week where a lot of people are looking at you. And when you step up and make plays, they're going to see you and obviously maybe enhance, you know, getting you to a college. Has any schools contacted you, or have you looked at any programs maybe starting for next year?
I was just talking to Maryhurst today, and they are very interested in other colleges as well, some Ivy League schools, FIU, and schools like that. So it's definitely a blessing to play at on a big stage, you know, so college coaches can see my ability and what I could do.
No doubt. Student athlete, leader, all around really good guy. And I appreciate you, Uriah. I can't wait to see you guys this Friday afternoon. Well deserved. And keep up the great work, especially in the classroom. And thanks so much for taking time.
Thank you for having me, Larry.
Good stuff. Uriah McCartney wraps up hour number one. He'll be playing in his first state championship game on Friday afternoon at 12:30 at FIU. Everybody's going to be there. We'll be there. And certainly we will have an opportunity to check them out. Please do not go away. We have a big second hour coming up. Alex Dono will start things off in just a few minutes.
time for the South Florida High School Sports Show on FM 104.3 WQAM. Florida's most in-depth coverage of high school sports.
Sponsored by UHealth, University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute's physicians deliver the precision of academic medicine to every pro, adult, and youth athlete. For your best recovery, go with pro-level expert care. Recover your game at UHealthSports.com.
Welcome back to hour number two. Larry Bluestein along with Trevor Harris on a beautiful Monday, and it is a beautiful Monday. It's not only state championship week where we have seven teams. I got a piece, Joe Rose, because we have to include West Palm Beach now, because I will attest our signal does go up there, because I drove last week to watch Cardinal Newman play up in West Palm, and I got the boys in the afternoon all the way up there. So we have seven teams beginning on Wednesday at FIU with, I think, the best game. It's going to be Jacksonville Bulls with the University of Miami commitment. The kid Sparks, J.J. Sparks, offensive lineman, against Cardinal Mooney, who's a beast. So that's a 2A game. But then the rest of the way on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, 12:30 and 7:30 will be the start times. But the other great news, the University of Miami, rightfully so. I mean, you know, let's put everything behind it. And, you know, I mean, I said this in the first hour, and I blew Alabama out of the water. I mean, three loss team. And like Trevor and I said, Alabama, okay, they beat Georgia, but they didn't look good the second time. And that's when you're judging things. I mean, they looked awful. So, but the thing that made it happen, the University of Miami played a really competitive schedule. They came alive when they needed to. Sure, you'd love to have the SMU game back, and you'd like to have the Louisville game back, but now you start from 0-0, and Miami will play next week at Texas A&M and College Station. You know what? And I said today, if Texas A&M plays like they did for the first 3.5 quarters against South Carolina, Miami will blow them into San Antonio. So let's hope Miami, that anger and that talent comes alive, and somebody who's watched this thing unfold, and I'll tell you what, proud papa sitting on pins and needles all day yesterday. I'm sure when they got down to that last pick, Alex Dono had a brick in his hand ready to throw it at the TV, but he joins us this evening. Alex, you got to be happy, but you got to be vindicated, because Miami really deserved to be one of the top 12 teams.
Yeah, it blew it. First of all, thank you for having me. My heart was racing when they got to that point, and Reese Davis, who was hosting the broadcast, he knows how to play up the drama. As soon as, you know, the top, everybody knew who the top eight were going to be. As soon as they announced Oklahoma at number eight, they slowed everything down. They played up the suspense. They had Bama at nine, which is ridiculous, like you said.
Yeah.
And then 10, the final at large. Is it going to be Miami? Is it going to be Notre Dame? My heart was racing, and when I saw the Miami logo appear on the screen, Blue, I had an out-of-body experience. Like, my soul left my body. My body bounced out of my seat. I started running around my house. It was unbelievable. And common sense prevailed, Blue. The way the committee went about it was ridiculous for all those weeks. To have Notre Dame ranked in front of Miami, and in one case, they were eight spots in front of Miami, despite the fact that they had identical records every single week, with Miami holding the head-to-head since they started doing the CFP. So, listen, I strongly believe that they finally got it right at the end when they ranked Miami ahead of Notre Dame. It was very bizarre that it took them that long to figure that out. But I thought justice was served and common sense prevailed at the end of it.
And you're 100% right, because the drama really shouldn't have been this way, because last week the committee had their chance to say, you know what, we looked over everything, we're going to put Miami right here ahead of Notre Dame. And then, yeah, there would have been some anger, but there wouldn't have been the anger that there – it would have given Notre Dame the opportunity, being the situation Miami was in, watching BYU game, watching the Alabama game, saying, hey, and everything that happened, a Miami fan said, well, we should be here because of this. See, Notre Dame didn't have to, because they thought they were in. They thought they were in. Miami was on the panic seat, and certainly the college, the committee could have eased that a billionfold by the week before saying Miami jumped back over them. And the reasoning being, like you just said, they were pretty well even record-wise, comparison of their of the teams that they played, but it came down to that head-to-head. And we can't take that out of the equation. It's the elephant in the room. You have to go by that. In every walk of life, it's what you did against the team you're going against. And that's where I think they screwed up the most, Alex.
Yeah, and if somebody asked me, one of my listeners asked me, like, how I would handle things if I were the commissioner of the CFP. And one of the things, I would do is, if I had, like, full power over the committee, I would stop the dog and pony show of the weekly reveals. Like, I would, we'll tell you at the end of the season what the rankings are. Because they could have saved themselves a lot of embarrassment with the way they were so inconsistent from week to week. And, you know, and you have your principles. Be consistent with your principles, because, you know, obviously I'm happy Miami gets in. I thought BYU kind of got screwed because they held BYU to one standard that they didn't hold Alabama to. Like, BYU, and I guess they would have been like first team out regardless, but BYU, you know, they got dominated in their conference championship game and they fell. Alabama, I watched both of those games, Blue. The games were like identical. Alabama got blown out the same way BYU got blown out, and they didn't fall a single spot. So no consistency with their principles. I also, with the CFP committee, I don't like the fact that it's made up mostly of sitting athletic directors. It's a conflict of interest in my mind. Not to mention, ADs are not necessarily football experts. Like, I would make up the committee full of former players and coaches.
Nick Saban, listen, would have been great.
Yes, he would be fantastic.
He would have been the first guy. Trevor's saying no, but you know what? I think Nick would have been the first guy I would have drafted because he was honest. He was honest. He even said, you know what? Yeah. Right now, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Alabama doesn't make it. And he said it. I mean, you know, he's calling it what it is, but 100%. You know, get former players who, you know, who have credibility, not like Joey Galloway, who was just off hinge. But, I mean, get really credible. And you have them. You have credible people out there that, you know, I mean, you know, you look at what's his name from Outkick. He would have been great to be in there as well. He's fair. All these guys are fair. But, yeah, no, I 100% agree. Let's go on to the game itself on the 30th. On the 20th, rather, Miami will travel to College Station, play Texas A&M. You know, Miami comes right now. I saw 5.5-point underdog, which I'm sure all the Miami fans jumped on that really quick. What do you think? I think Miami's playing as well as anybody right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious to see if momentum and current form carries over, you know, with 3 weeks between games, because Blue, Miami ended their season playing better ball than Texas A&M ended their season with.
Yeah.
I mean, a tough loss, the Aggies against Texas, you know, a couple weeks prior. I think between those two games, they played an FCS team, but prior to that,
South Carolina.
They had a shaky showing. They had a shaky showing against South Carolina, where they had to come from behind after a poor start to the game, where, you know, Miami was rolling their final games. I think it's a really good matchup because, Blue, there's a lot of strength versus strength.
Yeah,
both teams are really good on both lines of scrimmage. You know, Texas A&M tied for first in the nation in sacks. Miami has a defensive line that's the top graded D line in Pro Football Focus. Both D lines really, really good. Both offensive lines really good. Miami only gave up 11 sacks this year. A&M only gave up 12 sacks this year. You know, two talented quarterbacks. I think, you know, Carson Beck and Marcel Reed both had like their peaks and valleys during the season. You know, Reed is more mobile, but I would say Beck had a stronger finish to his season than Reed did, certainly. And both teams, Blue, have really talented playmakers. You know, you look at Casey Concepcion for Texas A&M, pretty similar player. I think Miami's got the slightly better version, but Concepcion and Malachi Toney are very similar. So I think this is going to be a really, really good game. I can't wait to see who's able to win the battles at the line of scrimmage. I would take Miami's D-line over just about any O-line in the country. It may just come down to which quarterback has the better day and which team can generate more big plays, because I think there are a lot of similarities for both of these squads.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think that the thing that really has propelled Miami offensively is they found a running back and somebody who could break a game open and not just maintain a game and not just get you 5 and 6 yards, but somebody could go 20. Somebody can come out of the backfield and take the ball, you know, the distance and break a game wide open. And I 100% agree with you. Miami's last 4 games of the season, they opened up the offense more than they had the whole year. Innovative plays, almost 14 different receivers caught the ball over the last 4 games, including Elijah Lofton, who we've been on for so much, getting part of it. We found out that we have a second string quarterback in Malachi Toney, who can throw the heck out of the ball. And here's the guy who lines up a wildcat, and you got to respect that he could take off, but you got to also respect he could throw the ball 55, 60 yards on the dot. So there's a lot of great things. You mentioned 2 great defenses. I think it's going to be outstanding. Miami's kind of rejuvenated. They had that. And also Miami comes in with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, thinking that everybody denied them all year. And as Trevor and I were saying, after 4 games, And I pulled up all these quotes from all these analysts. Miami's the best team in the country, and it's not close, okay? So if it wasn't close in week 4, how'd it get so far away? And that's what I'm saying. I think Miami's got a really good opportunity, you know, because if they can win this game, then it's a neutral field. They can bring Ohio State all they want, but they go to a neutral field. It's not like they're going to Columbus. So anything could happen. I think this is, you know, Mario Cristobal, you don't want to open the door for his football team.
And what a job Cristobal has done. I mean, you think about, you know, him wanting to be at his alma mater so badly. He left a great situation at Oregon to come down here, and he has compiled not only the talent, he's been able to assemble, I think, the best chemistry that he's had on a coaching staff. And you're able to put together this group, Blue, that, you know, I know, again, they had a couple tough losses this year, but the way they bounce back, I mean, because, you know, you and I, we've been watching Miami football for long enough to know a lot of recent years, after having that tough stretch, it usually goes the other way. Like, usually the team continues to play poorly and it spirals. This year, they bounced back and played their best football at the end of the year. And I give so much credit to Coach Cristobal and the culture that he helped set, and recruiting the right young men. Like, he likes to say these guys are made of the right stuff. Like, he has a team full of leaders that did not allow themselves to get consumed by negativity, and they started playing to their potential again. They ended the season, I would say, even better than they started it. The defense played well all season long, but the last 4 weeks have been the best offensive version of Miami football this season, and I hope we see more of that on the 20th.
Agreed. Let everybody know how they can follow you, because obviously this is going to be some kick butt lock-on Canes over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, thanks so much. It's been a lot of fun this week, Blue. I mean, when we did our reaction episode on Sunday, I had prepared like 2 pages of notes for what would happen if Miami got left out, because I thought that was what was going to happen. I ended up ripping my notes in half and just doing a celebration show instead. Nice. But yeah, we've been covering it on Locked On Canes. You can find us anywhere you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app. Just search Locked On Canes. You can also find the video version on YouTube, Locked On Canes. And, you know, follow me on X at Alex Dono and at Locked On Canes. And Blue, I always thank you so much for having me. And thanks, Trevor, as well, for being awesome.
Good stuff. That's Alex Dono. And I'll tell you what, he's got another, at least one more Hurricane post-game show to do, and that'll be coming up next Saturday. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute experts, you know, they treat athletes of all levels, active adults, elite pros, and even youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. When we come back, close things up. Philip Goodrich from St. Thomas Aquinas and Miami's University of Miami signee Javion Mallory from West Boca Raton coming next.
Time for more of the South Florida High School Sports Show on FM 104.3 WQAM. Sponsored by the University of Miami Health System Sports Medicine Institute.
Back with you, Larry Bluestein and Trevor Harris on South Florida High School Sports Show. Thanks so much to Alex Dono, who kind of filled us in on that University of Miami deal. I know he was happy. I know he was a big advocate of that. But we switch our attention to this week, and we have state championship football on Thursday evening at FIU. It's record-breaking time. St. Thomas Aquinas comes in there with a rematch against Lakeland, a team that they shut out last year in the state championship game, going for their seventh straight state title. One of the players has been right in the middle of it for the last couple of years, and I'll tell you what, one of the great athletes, tremendous football player, great leader on his way, and we thank him so much for his commitment to Army, where he will be attending. We welcome in Philip Goodrich. Philip, thanks so much for taking the time. Congratulations on a great year, football-wise, and certainly we appreciate your commitment for the future and going to Army, and you got to be excited about this week.
Yes, sir, absolutely. It's a great blessing.
Yep, it is. And, you know, we talk to Coach Harriet all the time, and obviously this is a team game, and you guys, that's the one thing. Everybody steps up every week for your football team. There's not one guy who does it all. One week it's this guy, another week it's another guy. You've been really, really steady throughout your career the last couple of years. Talk about what it's like to be, you know, wearing that uniform every Friday night and you know, representing a school with so much tradition and so much history.
Well, wearing that uniform, it's honestly a tremendous honor and blessing with all the school's reputation, everything that St. Thomas Aquinas holds. Wearing that uniform on a daily, weekly basis, it's inspiring to myself and players in general to want to uphold the standard. We have a standard at STA, and it is faith, family, tradition, and excellence. And we uphold to that every day and everything that we do, from the field to school and to our daily lives. And we sure do represent that every week that we play to the best of our abilities.
Right. And you get a chance to play with your brother, which is great, too. A little sibling rivalry. Mm-hmm. He's a year younger, a little bit bigger, obviously. I've watched him wrestle. He's a pretty strong young man. Talk about that and how you push each other and how you've pushed each other all your growing up time.
Honestly, it's really great having my brother on the line in front of me. He's a defensive tackle, D lineman, and myself being a linebacker, it's a great relationship, understanding and knowing how he's going to move, and just a relationship and trust bond that we have from D line to O line, because the trenches, you're always working together, and right. everything depends on each other. So it's a big thing, and I'm really happy to be playing with him and see him grow as well as myself.
Yeah, no, not only that, as I had an opportunity to meet your parents this summer at University of Miami. Mm-hmm. Great people. Mm-hmm. I could see where you get the character. Your dad doesn't look like he misses many gym days. He's in pretty good shape. And your mom's, I know that she's a former athlete as well. Talk about how parents, you know, we kind of overlook parents sometimes in this equation, how much they mean to your career, because, you know, they've been there, they've taken you guys, you know, to Little League, they've taken you to practices, they've, you know, made sure that you were, you know, on your deal for your grades and stuff. Talk about how influential your parents have been in your careers.
My parents have been a tremendous influence on me, especially from my younger age to now. Just always on my case, no matter if I liked it or not. But growing up and realizing that it's for a good purpose and not just them really being annoying, not just like being mean parents, but it's actually for the greater good, and they actually want me to be better than what they were. So my parents have done a tremendous job of that. And I've really grown to understand and the maturity factor as I grow older was understanding that all this stuff that they've took me to has to translate into everything of my life, not just football. So when they're on me about my stuff, it's for a greater good. And it's just to teach me to do these things myself in life.
Yeah, no doubt. Philip Goodrich joins us, and you had an opportunity to make a life commitment. I mean, you know, college is always a nice commitment to make, but you've pledged your pretty much the rest of your life to the service. You know, when you go to the academy, you're going to get your education, you're going to play football. And then from there, it's a life. And I know that my relatives are, you know, in service as well. And they've been there their entire life. Talk about that commitment, because here you are 17, 18 years old, making a commitment that's going to pretty much stretch into your 40s and your 50s. Talk about your decision to go to Army.
Well, my decision came when I went on the official visit there, and I was just completely blown away by everything that I experienced, from like scenery to the academic side to the sports side, sports management, facilities, everything like that. I never was truly blown away by a school when I went and visited, but Army, just the history and everything that they show and demonstrate and benefit long term in life, not just like now and in my college years, but to benefit myself long term beyond college and further throughout my life, was just honestly just a great feeling. And once I felt that, I knew that was where I wanted to go.
Right. Have you been a regimented, disciplined type of person? Are you the type of guy that, you know, starts your week and you have a schedule that you stay with, you know, like this time I'm going to do this time I'm going to do that. And you know, I'm going to go work out, I'm going to study. Do you have that type of, is that instilled in you, that regimen?
Yes, sir. It is. I have a military background in my family. My dad was a Marine, and just growing up with him, and just that standard in my house, honestly, just developed that over time, and it increased. The development increased, and as I was able to learn more and understand how my schedule needs to be, what I need to prioritize, that's just evolved into my daily life.
Right. Before I let you go, you know, you look at a coach like Coach Harriet, and you look at somebody like Antoine Russell, who's obviously from a spiritual, from a academic, from an athletic. I mean, he's the blueprint. You know, he's your athletic director. But you see, I'm an OG, so I kind of grew up when he played, and I followed his career at the University of Miami, and I followed his career into the NFL, and I followed his post football career, what he's done, you know, academically and from a spiritual, you know, from that aspect as well. Talk about people who like Coach Harriet and somebody like a Mr. Russell, who are, you know, who are really, really tremendous role models in everybody's lives.
Yes, sir. I believe heavily into, there's a quote there that the student is only as good as the teacher, and our teachers, our coaches, Coach Harry and Coach Russell, are great mentors and great coaches and great people that have really embodied the role of leadership and commitment. And they've already lived through that path of what like 99% of football players want to do and play at a high level. They've already done that, and they're back at the school contributing, developing, and leading a tremendous program, and only bringing the best out of the students, out of the players. So it's really a great blessing and privilege to have coaches as good as them.
No doubt. I know you're excited about this week, a rematch of last year. You guys take one game at a time. Obviously, I think St. Thomas is playing. You guys are playing your best football right now, as it is, as it's always been. How excited are you for your final high school football game?
I'm super excited. Just the great journey that I've been on, being with my guys, playing the game I love, and sharing these moments with them, it's truly exciting, and it's truly exciting to finish off strong and finish off how we want. We know this is the state championship game. We know this is a big game, but the preparation stays the same. The only thing different is the mentality, our mentality of finishing strong, finishing great, really. Just a mentality of everything that we do, showing tremendous energy, positive energy. We want to keep negative energy limited to none, and we only want to embrace the moments that we have.
Well said. Well said. Philip, I can't thank you enough, brother. We'll see you on Thursday night. Best of luck. And wow, it's mind-boggling to think that this program has dominated so much, and going for 7 straight on Thursday evening against Lakeland. That's Philip Goodrich. Again, thank you so much for your future commitment. Well-deserved, and we'll see you on Thursday.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Good stuff. Philip Goodrich, St. Thomas Aquinas linebacker. He's a senior. This is his last high school game. Then he makes his commitment for our country, as he will attend Army. Kid's a player. His brother's a stud wrestler and a great football player as well. Speaking about stud football players, save the best for last. Tell you what else can you say about somebody who's dominated since he was like 10? Javian Mallory has been one of those players that everybody's watched through youth football, through high school. And as he comes to an end of his high school career this week, this is going to be a Friday afternoon as they will play against West Broward. They come up with the big win last week. He scores the winning touchdown from West Boca Raton, University of Miami signee, Javion Mallory. Javion, thanks so much for taking the time this evening. Congratulations on what has been just an outstanding high school career.
Hello, Larry. Thanks for having me. Thank you for everything.
Hey, I appreciate it, man. Thank you for everything. You've been worth the price of admission every darn week. Last week, how special was that? I mean, you went on the road, everybody telling you there's no way, Armwood's this, Armwood's that. You get a chance to score the winning touchdown. What kind of feeling was that, knowing that West Boca was going back to the state championship game?
It was a great feeling to have. You know, it was something that we worked for since January. And after we coming off a state championship, you know, we had that mindset that, you know, it was good that we won one, but it's hard to win the next one. So we just, you know, we stuck to the plan that Coach Potts had for us. You know, we came in, worked hard each and every day, and that was the result. You know, we went into Armwood. We knew it was going to be, you know, a hard atmosphere to play in. We go up there, you know, they're going to have a lot of fans, you know. It's going to be very loud. But, you know, we just really stick to our game plan. You know, we've been down before. We've been in tough situations to where teams are winning and they have all the adversity and everything like that. But, you know, we stood to it. You know, we believed in each other. We kept a great energy. You know, no one had their heads down. You know, we're just working. But that's the result of what happened. You know, I'm just thankful for the O-line and the receiver that they didn't quit on me. You know, that game, it was a real hard-fought football game. I probably didn't have more than 50 yards, but the O-line, quarterback, receivers, everybody, they stuck with the game plan, and that's what happened.
Yeah, no doubt. When you first got to West Boca Raton, I'm sure a lot of people said, where are you going? Why are you going there? I mean, they've never won. They've never done this. You were committed from the beginning, and you stayed there. You wrote it out. I mean, I probably could tell you could have gone to a million other schools. What was it about Coach Potts, and what was it about that coaching staff and those players that you went to war with every week that said, you know what, I'm going to stay here? You did your freshman, sophomore year, and then all of a sudden your junior and senior year pay off. What was it about this school and this coaching staff that said, hey, you know what, this is where I want to be?
It was the brotherhood that we created. You know, of course, going to West Boca was an easy decision to make. You know, of course, I could go to all the other powerhouse high schools down here in South Florida, but, you know, talking to Coach Potts and really getting to know him, I just felt it in my heart. You know, I feel like God sent him to me purposefully to play for him. You know, he's just a real genuine guy who had my best interest at heart, and, you know, he had a plan for me, and, you know, he stuck to it. You know, everything he said came true, and the reason why I never transferred was I was committed to him, you know, and And when I give them my commitment, I'm not breaking that. And it's the brotherhood that we built, and, you know, the work that I put in with them, it was just too much for me to leave. You know, it doesn't matter. We could have been 0-10 all 4 years. I would have stayed just because of the brotherhood that I built with my teammates and, you know, the connection and just the commitment I have to the program. You know, I had a real life. I was really like, my mindset going to Boca was I'm going to create a dynasty, not just the 4 years I'm here, but shoot, however long the school's up, I'm going to create a dynasty and have many, many more top-level athletes want to come play for Coach Potts. And, you know, that's the road we're on right now.
Yeah, no doubt. Javion Mallory joining us. He recently signed with the University of Miami. And here's the thing, too. You guys played a tough schedule. I was at your Bergen Catholic game, obviously, good football team, you know, big, you know, very talented. Also, Cardinal Newman, good football program, headed to state, will be playing as well. What was a turning point? Was that Atlanta game the turning point? Because I was at that game, too, and it seemed like you guys came out with a different purpose than you did in the past couple of games. Was that Atlanta game, going to Atlantic? A lot of people thinking, hey, no, they're going to beat us. Was that a turning point in this season, you think?
I feel like the Carter Newman loss was a turning point. Losing to a team we shouldn't have lost to. You know, we weren't – I'm not going to say we weren't taking that team serious, but that was a game that we knew it was going to be a good game, but we just knew. We just were saying the whole week, we're going to win. Like, we're going to win. And we had that cocky mindset. We didn't come out with any energy. We just thought it was going to be another game, another – you know, hard-fought football game, but they couldn't stay in the game for quarters with us. And that's really what shook it up for us. You know, we went back to the school that Sunday. We had a team meeting, and I just realized from there, we all just locked in. We all got on the same plan. We all got on the same level. And from there, we just took it to another level, you know, from everything, from our focus to the structure of everything we did. Everything we did, we just took it to another level. And you know, that Carter Newman loss was really real humbling for us, you know, but look where we're at now. And I just feel like that took us a long way. That was the loss that we didn't want to take, but that we needed to take.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, it happens. I mean, obviously, the best of best teams, and it gave you an opportunity to kind of focus. You're facing off a team a lot like you were last year, going to the state championships for the first time in school history in West Broward, obviously. A lot of talent on that team. They're excited. You're excited as well. What are you looking forward to the most? This is your last high school football game. Obviously, you like to go out with a W. You know, you put a lot into this, a lot. You know, you grew up, you know, I remember, like I said, I remember when you were in the eighth grade and you first started out. You've grown up so much as a person and as a player. Talk about how important this last game at the high school level is for you.
For me personally, it's very important. You know, I didn't play last year when right. We went on that crazy undefeated run. So this year, this is really the year where I've been healthy the whole season. Thank God for that. You know, I haven't had that one injury. And I'm ready to end high school off with a bang. You know, yeah. Win the state championship. You know, we'll be the first team in Palm Beach County history to go back to back. It's just this game really means more than it means to others. It really does. And just leaving that legacy, not just win the state championship, but in West Boca history, in Palm Beach County history, in the South Florida history, leaving my name and make sure people don't forget it.
Yeah, and you will, 100%. And obviously, University of Miami, you sign with the Hurricanes. This is a program that, you know, you see they're on the upward trend. You look at somebody like a Gerard Pringle, who was in your situation last year as a high school player. Now he's immersed as one of the running backs. You guys obviously are the future duo for that program, along with Wheatley Humphrey. How excited are you to get to Carl Gables and get to work?
I'm very excited. You know, each and every time I get on the phone with a coach from Miami, they tell me, even when I go down and when I see them, when I talk to them, they tell me I need to be ready to play immediately. You know, they said they know I have it in me to come in and make a real impact as a freshman, and that's really all I need to hear. You know, I'm ready to come in, put my head down, work, and become a freshman All-American.
Yeah, no doubt. Javion Mallory headed to the state championships this Friday at 12:30 at FIU. I can't thank you enough, brother. You provided a lot of great moments for a lot of people, and we look forward to seeing you this week and then seeing you do your stuff at the U.
Thank you, Larry.
Good stuff. Javion Mallory, West Boca Raton, one of the best backs. I'll tell you what, Miami struck gold with him. And you know what? He was on board a while back, and he stuck with his commitment. That's important as well. A lot of people don't understand. I mean, commitment's huge. And, you know, he wanted to come to Miami early. A lot of things happened, and he's just stuck right with it. And you got, and same thing with his high school career. I can't tell you how many times that Javion Mallory could have left. He could have gone anywhere, and he stayed right there, and things are paying off. He didn't get a chance to play last year in the state championship game because he was injured, but you'll bet he'll be front and center against West Boca this week. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute experts, they treat athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, and youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. That's uhealthsportsmedicine.com. Take our final break of this Monday evening show, then we'll come back and wrap things up.
Let's get back to South Florida high school sports on FM 104.3 WQAM. Sponsored by the University of Miami Health System Sports Medicine Institute. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsports.com.
So glad you could join us on this Monday. What a great show. If you had missed any of it, just go to WQAM.com. Go to the top of the page where it says podcast. We have all of the interviews. You get a chance to listen to Andre Fernandez break down this week's state championship games from the Miami Herald. Dylan Bennett from American Heritage Plantation, two-way standout, senior leader. Get a chance to listen to what he said. Uriah McCartney, son of a coach from West Broward. Get a chance to listen to him. Alex Dono from Locked On Canes, the University of Miami post-game show, joined us as well. We talked happy Cane fans this week. Also, Philip Goodrich on his way to Army from St. Thomas Aquinas can be a part of an amazing 7-year run as the Raiders get an opportunity on Thursday evening to go for 7 straight state titles as they will play Lakeland. And we ended off with University of Miami signee Javion Mallory from West Boca Raton. He'll just add to a already deep running core when he gets to Coral Gables. Well, that'll do it for this Monday evening. Thanks so much to Trevor Harris for doing what he always does for us. We will be back next week with kind of wrap up the state championship games. Probably have a few more guests as well. Thanks so much. Be safe. We'll see you next week.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.